Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourselves up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money, major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Starkville, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin.
I'm tonight, more than 1.3 million people are in prisons across America. A highly disproportionate number are Black and Latinx men. Criminal justice reformers say that their voices and the promise of their lives have been sidelined for far too long. But now one convicted felon in the nation's capital is fighting back from the inside, showing the power of rehabilitation and making political history in the process. Here's our Devin Dwyer.
From his cell block inside D.C. jail, Joel Castone is forging a new path to redemption.
One of my primary jobs is not only mentoring, but also being able to give you all wholesome content. Money coming in.
He teaches economics, leads Christian worship, and mentors dozens of fellow inmates in a program he helped create. And this spring, he turned to politics.
Who are your constituents? Who are the people that you're representing?
Yes, my constituents, first and foremost, the largest voting block of my constituents are incarcerated people.
After 27 years locked up for murder as a teenager, Castone launched a campaign for a seat on D.C.'s Advisory Neighborhood Commission and won, becoming the first person in the nation's capital to win election while incarcerated.
Has you ever voted before?
I never voted before.
So you were running for office and you had never even participated,
never participated
in the democratic process before.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing and how you can say, I want to be a part of something, but because the laws have prevented you, these barriers in place, and now these barriers are removed. So what we're doing here in D.C., we're actually setting a standard for the nation.
And you dressed the part.
I will be your biggest advocate.
His election is pushing the boundaries of voting rights after D.C. last year joined just Maine and Vermont in allowing felons to cast ballots and run for office from behind bars.
Most countries in the world, unlike the U.S., allow people to vote while they're incarcerated. In some countries, they actually bring the ballots to the prisons, and others they allow it by absentee. In other words, in most places, you don't lose your humanity, you don't lose your civil rights, social rights, political rights when you're incarcerated.
Commissioner Castone says his election shows the power of a second chance. In 1994, it was here in Southeast D.C. that as a teenager swept up in a culture of drugs and guns, Castone was arrested and later convicted in the shooting death of another young Black man.
I was heartbroken. I know that.
Delonte Uzzle, Castone's cousin and best friend, says the tragedy of that day shows just how unforgiving life on the streets could be.
You could get hurt walking to the store. If Joel was fighting, we had to fight. If I was fighting, they had to fight.
How have you noticed Joel change?
He's always been that guy since I can remember. Always like the best reading groups. Always been smart.
Were you shocked when he was elected as a commissioner in D.C.?
I was shocked, but it wasn't a surprise. That's just always been him.
The family of the victim in Castone's case has given its full endorsement in a statement to ABC News saying, we believe in forgiveness, and we hope Joel will do good work in the community.
As a teenager, I was once a drug dealer myself. I was once a gunman myself as a teenager, and I paid a huge penalty for that. That's my incarceration. But throughout my incarceration, the best advice my queen gave me was find God, and I sought God.
His queen is his mother, still a guiding light for Castone as he embarks on a two-year term to represent residents in one of the poorest parts of the city.
Maybe he's going to take that experience and share how he got through it, and so others won't have to. That would be good.
Some people are going to look at this with disdain, but a lot of people are going to think this is somebody who's really taking a step in the right direction.
His district includes D.C.'s jail, a nearby women's shelter, and this luxury apartment complex he's never seen.
How can you represent a group of people, a community, when you're cut off from a big segment of that community?
I would definitely answer that question by saying something no one expected, the global pandemic. A lot of meetings, a lot of engagement has taken place over Zoom. So now as an ANC commissioner, one of the things I do have access to is a computer.
So you're Zooming from inside this cell block?
I'm Zooming from the
you
inside.
You have an office inside
I'm inside
this
the
cell
office.
Block.
Yes, I do. Yes.
You oversee everything from liquor license approval to sidewalk repair to public safety. Can you credibly advocate for public safety from in here?
I can, because those matters are matters that matters to my constituents. And so it behooves me to educate myself.
Joel Castone has probably more than any person in the country that I've heard of. He has the right to redeem himself and to have another chance.
Georgetown professor Mark Howard has taught Castone and encouraged him to run for commissioner. He calls him a model for the nation.
He's just so bright, outgoing, positive, inspirational to everyone around him. He represents not only the people in his district, but he represents all incarcerated people by showing what they're capable of.
Castone has taught himself Arabic and Mandarin, studies the Bible in French and Spanish, and has published a curriculum of books to help inmates learn the basics of investments and savings.
We want people on the inside thinking like citizens, and it seems oxymoronic, right? However, if we can get them thinking this way while they're on the inside, the overarching goal is that would be the mindset on the outside. So we're changing the narrative.
Later this year, he expects to start his next chapter on parole, living in the district he'll represent as commissioner while chasing his passion for entrepreneurship.
Just taking the spotlight off me for a second, I think all lives matter, all voices matter, everyone's voice matter. And I think that when you look at a story like mine, it oftentimes we would just cast off individuals who are inside of carceral spaces and think that he or she does not have a value. I believe that my story demonstrates that, yes, we do have value.
Seeking redemption through politics and public service and hoping to restore faith in life after prison. For ABC News, I'm Devin Dwyer in Washington.
Giving a lot of people hope and purpose. Our thanks to Devin for bringing us that story.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos here. Thanks for checking out the ABC News YouTube channel.
All right, today's podcast is titled Model T Assembly Meets Nine Friends. Before we get into that, with our morning motivation, you know, Jamarian Styles, the kid, I mean, people that do the impossible. And the reason why I play this stuff every morning, one of the reasons, is because during this pandemic time, you've got some people that are going to have to, pay some astronomical rents or whatever they might have to pay when, you know, they lift a moratorium on all this stuff. So that's the reason why we play these type of so-called impossible situations. But Jamarian Styles, no hands. But he went out for the basketball team, maybe he even scored, a few baskets. And this this guy that I just discovered yesterday, Joel Castone, currently incarcerated in the D.C. jail. We're working on contacting him to get him on a live stream. Got elected to public office in Washington, D.C. Now, there are three states in which you can do that right now. Two states and a city. Washington, D.C., which is a city. The state of Vermont, and the state of Maine. And more than likely, there are going to be other states that will repeat what he's done. But he's a pioneer with this. So after we play this last one of him, okay, Joel Castone, because he really, in my opinion, represents doing, in other words, there's nothing impossible. You just have to attempt it. And step by step, you'll be shown how to make the impossible possible. So after that, we'll get into Model T assembly. Now, before we get to that, if you go to our program notes for today, is right on Blog Talk Radio, we have some information about Fords, particularly from the Model T. And I'll go over those real quickly before I go back to Joel Castone. Early models of the Model T had 1,481 parts. It took Henry Ford, I guess, and his team, originally it took them about, they assembled it, that 1,400 plus parts in 12 hours and 50 minutes. About 13 hours, half the day, 24-hour day. Later, they got a system down, I guess using the assembly line system, where they went from 12 hours and 50 minutes to 93 minutes. Now, in 2021, four producers in a car these days might have about, depending on the car, let's say 30,000 parts. So they dramatically increased the amount of parts, you know, just the way commerce is. But now they assemble 12.2 cars per minute. So we're going to take a look at how they did that, and then how, if you have a particular widget, we have a widget, but, and we'll discuss our widget, but, and we're going to openly brainstorm. I got Robin on here today for that. But if you have any midget, it could be cupcakes, baking pies, making hamburgers or whatever. We want to get the fundamentals on how you can streamline your widget making so you can, we'll just leave it. You keep the goal to yourself. In any event, let's go right back to more of Joel Castone. No, hold on, let me get the right one. We'll do this one.
In the nation's seat of power, just a few miles from the White House and Capitol, a milestone for voting rights in America.
I noticed that, wait a minute, not only can we vote, we can also run for the office.
How many in the group this morning want to learn about the vet?
After 27 years behind bars, Joel Castone is seeking redemption through politics. The 44-year-old felon, convicted for murder as a teenager, became Washington, D.C.'s newest elected public servant this summer, winning a groundbreaking campaign for neighborhood commissioner on the city's southeast side.
It sounds great to have an official title, I must admit that. However, what it feels like is that now I have to deliver.
From an office behind bars, Castone will serve as an advisor to D.C. government and offer recommendations for improving city services.
Has you ever voted before?
I never voted before.
So you were running for office and you had never even participated in the democratic process before.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing and how you can say, I want to be a part of something, but because the laws have prevented you, these barriers in place, and now these barriers are removed. So what we're doing here in D.C., we're actually setting the standard for the nation.
Some of his roughly 2,000 constituents are fellow incarcerated residents in D.C. jail.
How many of y'all voted?
Many casting ballots in a local election that has pushed the boundaries of voting rights and racial justice. D.C. last year joined just Maine and Vermont as the only places in America that prisoners can vote.
When I actually put a check in that box and actually said that he won and this is the person I voted for, it like reaffirmed that, you know, I am worthy to be back in society.
Less than 1% of the nation's estimated 1.8 million incarcerated residents has the right to cast a ballot from behind bars, setting the U.S. apart from many other democracies.
In other words, in most places, you don't lose your humanity, you don't lose your civil rights, social rights, political rights when you're incarcerated.
Georgetown professor Mark Howard, a leading advocate for felon voting rights, says it's also an issue of racial justice. One in 16 black American adults is disenfranchised because of a conviction, a rate 3.7 times higher than among non-blacks.
But if you think about the broader context and history of the struggle for the right to vote in this country, incarcerated people was always a group that was left out of that progression.
He's now the first incarcerated American elected to office with votes from incarcerated peers.
How can you represent a group of people, a community, when you're cut off from a big segment of that community?
A lot of meetings, a lot of engagement has taken place over Zoom. So now as an ANC commissioner, one of the things I do have access to is a computer.
So you're Zooming from inside the cell block?
I'm Zooming from the
you
inside.
You have an office.
I'm inside the office.
Block.
Yes, I do, yes.
His district includes D.C.'s jail, a nearby women's shelter, and this luxury apartment complex he's never seen.
You oversee everything from liquor license approvals to sidewalk repair to public safety. Can you credibly advocate for public safety from in here?
I can. I believe that my story, my campaign, is giving lens to individuals who may not have considered this as being a viable option to obtain public safety.
But enfranchisement of felons remains highly controversial.
It's called punishment. Punishment for their crime.
Many Republicans opposed House Democrats' sweeping election reform bill, H.R. 1, this spring, in part because it would have restored the vote to millions of ex-felons. While 21 states automatically return voting rights after release, 16 withhold the vote through periods of probation or parole, and 11 more suspend the vote indefinitely for some crimes.
Oftentimes, we would just cast off individuals who are inside of carceral spaces and think that he or she does not have a value. I believe that my story demonstrates that, yes, we do have value.
In 1994, it was here in Southeast D.C. that as a teenager swept up in a culture of drugs and guns, Castone was arrested and later convicted in the shooting death of another young black man.
As a teenager, I was once a drug dealer myself. I was once a gunman myself as a teenager, and I paid a huge penalty for that. That's my incarceration.
The family of the victim in Castone's case has given its full endorsement in a statement to ABC News saying, "We believe in forgiveness and we hope Joel will do good work in the community." Castone expects to be paroled by the end of the year.
Joel Castone has probably more than any person in the country that I've heard of. He has the right to redeem himself and to have another chance.
Commissioner Castone already inspiring hope that his constituents can find redemption too.
Serving an 18-month sentence, and the thing I would like for Joel to do is continue to make the impossible possible,
because it helps young men to become better people.
He's inspired that we're more than inmates. You know, we're fathers, we're sons, we're brothers, and also we're politicians. Thank you, Joel.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos here. Thanks for checking out the ABC News YouTube channel. If you'd like to get more videos, show highlights, and watch live event coverage, click on the right over here to subscribe to our channel. And don't forget to download the ABC News app for breaking news alerts. Thanks for watching.
Okay, today's podcast is titled Model T Assembly Meets Nine Friends. If you're online, I want you to go to Blog Talk, go to content page the scrolling marquee page, and I want you to take a look at what's written there, and then we're going to come back. I want to play Nine Friends because we're going to merge into the Model T Meets Nine Friends.
I say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass, high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars these is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back at the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pulled up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, "We finna fix this house." I said, "What kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, "These my friends." The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Whew. It was an abandoned fucking house, and it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb: many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family gonna live in there? Is they gonna, I'm going to get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
All right, guys, welcome back. EYL, Hometown Heroes Edition, Chicago.
Chi-town, what's going on now?
Shout out to the Chi, shout out to the West Side, to the South Side, North Side, East Side, every side.
We was out in the South right now.
Yeah, we in the South Side right now, for sure.
Again,
for sure.
Again.
For sure. What area are we at specifically?
So this, we in Washington Park.
Washington Park, shout out to Washington Park.
Those
sure.
In the know, y'all know.
Yeah. So we got a very special edition today. But before we start, we got some housekeeping items we want to make you guys aware of. It's not too late to register for our workshop, our first ever workshop on 10/17. So as we said before, every single month we're going to be having a workshop in person, but also live stream for anybody anywhere in the world. And there's going to be a different EYL guest is going to speak about their area of expertise. So the first one is with our guy, MG the Mortgage Guy. And it's going to be about financing your first real estate deal, real estate financing for your first deal. So you go to our website, earnyourleisure.com, on the events tab, and you can register. As I said, you can do in person in New York City, but you can also live stream it and you can watch it. You don't have to actually watch it while it's going on, but the live stream, like once you have it, you can watch it whenever if you're at work or whenever. So make sure you do that. So, yes. All right. So now we have a very special episode. I'm actually interested because this is something that I don't know anything about.
Zero.
To be honest,
zero.
I'm going to educate myself on this. So Byron and Shanice, dynamic couple that also are business partners as well. So congratulations, first and foremost.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you guys, all right, you're in the mold.
Okay, I had to take a call there. Today's podcast is titled Model T Assembly Meets Nine Friends. Okay, what we want to do, all right, let me go to the program notes here, which is listed on Blog Talk Radio on our scrolling marquee page. Henry Ford, with his Model T car, one of the versions of it, had 1,481 parts. Originally, they assembled it in 12 hours and 50 minutes. Later, with this assembly system, they got the assembled time from 12 hours and 50 minutes to 93 minutes. And then today in 2021, they assemble or make 12.2 cars per minute. So the reason why I play Nine Friends so often, as well as Factory City, you know, what they're doing in China. They're doing it over here, but I use those because I think they explain stuff real easy, is... You know, many hands make light work. Just like in the Nine Friends audio I played, you know, the guy went to work and he came back and the house looked brand new. So the widget that we're dealing with, our widget, and you can use these principles for any kind of widget. Your widget might be baking cupcakes or what have you. So our widget is building small houses. So what we want to do is use the balance of the time today to, and I'll open up the mic for Robin, so we can take the principle, because we don't have Ford or General Motors or Toyota money to open up assembly plants as they have them today. However, I believe that And that's why I played the Nine Friends audio, what they did 9 hours with that house to make it brand new. We can use that same principle for what our widget is, which is tiny solar homes. All right, so we're going to play this bit here from the Ohio Players and come back and open up the phone lines with Robin and doing some open brainstorming, because we don't have nowhere near 1,000 parts to put together to do what we need to do.
People keep talking about how the world is going to come to an end. And I wonder, in these days and these times, if anybody people keep talking about how society is falling down today. And as hard as I try not to listen just to what them folks got to say, but you know, I just can't help but look around and see we digging our own grave. And there's just one thing I want to know. Can anybody be saved? Me.
Okay, now let's get into it. Model T Assembly meets nine friends. And we're putting this out there because, like, see, when this pandemic, this moratorium is lifted, many people, matter of fact, some are facing a situation right now. You're going to need a widget to pay all that back rent. I mean, I saw one video this morning. The guy and his brother, they owe like $100,000 worth of back rent. And more than likely, you're not going to get that grant from the government to cover that kind of money just on one person. So we recommend that you get a widget of some sort, and it could be cupcakes. You know how to make cupcakes or apple pies or sell $5 dinners or build tiny houses or build anything. But you're going to have to make something, manufacture something, and sell it. So we're taking a look at Henry Ford because Henry Ford only had maybe a sixth grade education, something like that. And had a bicycle shop. And, he, with the Model T, like I say, there were 1,481 parts. It took a little over 12 hours to put together one Model T at first. Well, probably not at first, but that's when he was getting more into the commercial end of it. Then he got an assembly system together and got it down to 93 minutes. And now 12.2 cars are made by Ford per minute. So some of you might, how many widgets can, let's say, you produce in an hour? Okay, using the nine friends methodology. So, Robin, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, your thoughts on how to get nine friends, that'll be your assembly line, so to speak, to make any kind of widget that you're talking about. It could be like cupcakes or tiny houses.
Yeah. So Ford, he utilized a conveyor, if you will, and both the people, actually the people are the conveyor.
Right.
The people and the machines were the conveyor. Now, the people are the conveyors because they will convey the ideals and the physical fruition, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They are the conveyors. So you get people, just like you say, and you put them on a line, an assembly line, if you will, and you give each one of them a certain task to do, right? And you create your widget, your conveyor belt. There
right.
you go. And then also, you do the conveyor will convey the actual item. They'll build it. They'll create it. They'll build it. They will sell it. They will distribute it. They will deliver it. And also, watch this. Doesn't necessarily have to be nine friends. You can take your family, your siblings, your husband, your children, and now you convey that widget into an LLC and make a family business, and boom, there you go. Now you've got
okay.
satellite conveyor belts all over the world instantly.
Well, all right, let's take since we brought I brought up the nine friends example. All right, it was a
mm-hmm.
house. Cause let's take something model Henry Ford. All right, we know that Model T had 1,481 parts. Now, going to the nine friends thing, all right, the guy called, matter of fact, let's play it and let's listen for the numbers so we can get more accurate with our widget assembly.
Okay.
I say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars these is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking, ain't just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back out the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pulled up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, "We finna fix this house." I said, "What kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, "These my friends." The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Woo.
Okay, let's take some numbers here. Okay, well, now with Henry Ford with the Model T, the Model T was a very simple car. All right, it was bare bones, very simple. Anything that would come out today would be pimped out compared to the Model T. It's a very simple fire car. So we're going to take this house and we're going to simplify it. Let's say it was what do you want to go with, Robin? A 1-bedroom house or 2 bedrooms? Let's go with 1-bedroom. A 1-bedroom house with a bathroom, with a kitchen. We're not even going to say it had a basement. It's got 1 bedroom, 1 kitchen, 1 bathroom. You got a dining room, a living room. So we're talking about, what, about 5 rooms? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Living room, dining room, kitchen, bathroom. Hold on, what was that 5th room? All right, living room, dining room. All right, living room, dining room, bathroom, bedroom. What was that? There's another room, Robin.
The pantry, the den.
No, no, wait, hold it. Let me get a feel.
Bedroom.
Let me write this stuff down. Okay, hold it. I'm thinking on paper. Okay, let me. Okay, here we go. All right, we got kitchen. Man, what's wrong with? Wait a minute. Okay. All right, we got. Man, this computer. All right. Kitchen. Bedroom, only one. Bathroom, only one. Oh, living room, dining room.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's it. So you got 5 rooms, okay. kitchen, bedroom, one bedroom, one bathroom, living room, dining room. Okay, now, so, matter of fact, I'm even simplify this even more, because that's five rooms. I'm going to say the living room can double as the dining room. So we're dealing with a four-room house. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, he stated that he had, or he saw nine pickup trucks pull into the driveway. So, we can go with, or we automatically know that there were, the guy who bought the house, there were nine pickup trucks, so bare minimum, there was 10 people there.
Mm-hmm.
But those nine pickup trucks probably could have had one other person in there as well. So,
mm-hmm.
let's say half of them had two people.
I would say that those trucks were full, and they probably had four people in each truck.
All right, well, let's go with four people. All right, two in the cab, two in the pickup part of the truck. So that's four people times nine trucks. That's 36 people.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the guy who bought the house. So that's 37 people that he had on hand to
mm-hmm.
which was his social capital. So you got 30,
mm-hmm.
all right, I'm even simplifying this. I'm going to take away one person. Okay, so you got one floor general, the guy who bought the house. You got 36 worker bees. You got four rooms. So essentially 36 people divided by four rooms. So you've got nine people that you can assign to each room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which
mm-hmm.
includes runners, painters. All right, oh, you know what? Let's go to a bedroom. Okay, so we got nine people per room in a four-room house. So I'm picking out a bedroom, which, you know, strip down has, it doesn't have anything. It's got four walls. It's got a ceiling. And let's say the floors need work as well. Okay. But you've got nine people assigned to that particular room. All right. So let's go with the walls, and let's say the walls just need to be painted. I'm making this really simple. Now you got nine people, so now, and people that are listening, you can join in on this with your ideas as well. I would say, Robin, to paint the first thing. All right, let's say the room is trashed out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's trashed out. So you can basically utilize those nine people to get the room cleared out. And you can do it in a way where they're not running all over top of each other. So with nine people and you got a room that's, let's say, what was left in the room was furniture that the last occupants had in there. It could be a bed, dresser drawer, trash bags.
Mm-hmm.
About how long do you think it would take, Robin, just to get a room cleared out?
With
there's
nine
no right or wrong
people?
Answer. There's no wrong answer. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got nine people.
With nine people, they should be able to clear a room in 30 minutes or less.
Yep. I go with that. I go with that. At least 30
minutes.
Real
easy. And way less, probably. You know?
But 30 minutes is that's a reasonable amount of time.
You know?
But
you
have,
not only removing the debris, but maybe it's messy, so you have to clean up too. You want to account
right.
for that
now,
too.
We're going to get to that part.
So,
we're going to get to that part in a moment. All right, now we need to add another factor in that was mentioned in the you know, the guy went to work. He mentioned he was leaving out at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
as he
mm-hmm.
saw the 9 trucks roll in. And when he came back in the morning, so let's say he was out for, to simplify this, 12 hours. He left out at 7.
Mm-hmm.
He got back home at 7 a.m. So overnight,
mm-hmm.
they took a dump, or what looked like a dump, not take a dump. And
mm-hmm.
within 12 hours, it was looking brand new. Okay. So they remove that 9 out of the 36 people. All right. So the first thing is they 9 people were assigned to each room. We're only dealing with a 4-room house. Okay. So in the bedroom, they removed within 30 minutes, 9 people within 30 minutes removed the debris and leftover furniture or trash bag that was left in that room. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that still leaves you with a dirty floor, dirty walls. What's the next thing to do? Let's say they knock that out in 30 minutes, removing all the debris. Now, what, and you know what, let's say out of the 9 people assigned to that room,
mm-hmm.
let's say 3 of them, you know what, let's say 3 of them, no, let's make it 4. 4 of them out of the 9 were able to clear that room out. So you still got 5 people on that team in that particular room, or as a matter of fact, let me, once we, people, we're thinking out loud because we want to rough this out here. So when we're doing our stuff offline, which you'll be able to see on Zoom or whatever, you'll see how we do this. All right. So we got 4 rooms. We got 36 people. Actually, we got 37 people, but one's the general. So each room has a 9-member team. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So before we even clear out that room, all right, we need to organize the team because we've only got, they've got a total of 12 hours to whip that house into shape where it looks brand new, as the guy stated in the audio. So the bedroom team, which is made up of 9 people, all right, let's think on paper first before we take any action. So we're going to have a cleanup, a removal team to get all the junk out of the room. All right. We're also
yes.
going to need, let's say, a soap and bucket disinfectant team, somebody to come in there, sweep up, mop up, and sanitize the room. All right. We're going to need a team
mm-hmm.
for that. With a sub-team within that 9 people. And then we're going to need people to, let's say, with the flooring, okay, let's say the floor could either be sanded down, you know, or you know what, we'll go with peel and stick. The floor can be made to look new with peel and stick tile, and then the ceiling, we can make it look new with joint compound. All right, so
mm-hmm.
they had to make the teams of, all right, how many out of the 9 are going to be responsible for removing the debris and all that type stuff. Who's going to be out of that nine people? How many people do you need to sweep up? Now, let's go with the sweep up and mop up. All right. Before we go to that, how many people out of the nine are we going to use to remove the debris out of the room? If we got a timeline of 30 minutes to do it in.
I would say use all of them and go in and clear the whole house first.
Good thinking. So we got 36 people, nine per room. And like I say, clear the whole house. So we're talking about the whole house should
first.
Be cleared out first in less than, well, you know what? We're going to put it at an hour.
Yeah,
We got 12 hours to deal with. So you're right. We got 36 people, nine per room. They'll probably do it in less than an hour, but let's put it at an hour. And you got the whole room, you got the whole four bedroom house cleared out. All right. Next thing would be sweeping and mopping and disinfecting. Okay. You got nine people
sweeping,
per room, or you can have
sweeping,
a squad within
sweeping, mopping, and then
that.
You could speed up that process by using a shop vac. Instead of sweeping, you use a shop vac, cut down on your time and your effort as well.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
And you won't.
It does.
And you won't necessarily have to mop the floor as much as you will prep it. And then sometimes, like if you're putting in carpeting and tile, you won't have to make it all like that. So you make your, you clear it out, prep the floor, and then I would use the cleaning, the spick and span cleaning for after that floor is done, if that makes sense.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and the
same thing
for the walls. You wouldn't have to.
Right. Now, I'm agreeing with everything you're saying, but I'm thinking now, when the nine pickup trucks came up with 36 people, okay, and that's I would call that a very realistic number, 36 people. The guy who bought the house already sat down with pen and paper and thought out, okay, this is what needs to be done. And just like you're saying, so he had what we call it a punch list. He had a punch list on what needed to be done and how many people needed to do it. And like you said, the first task that they did is clear the house. And that makes sense because every room, just clear it out. And then work from it. But he had a list on what to do. All right, so clearing the house, getting the place sanitized, peeling stick, a towel and all that, mopping, sweeping, that type of stuff. They probably had some people that might have, because out of 36 people, with a four-bedroom house, more than likely, you don't need all 36 people to clear the house out. Let's say out of the 36 people, he had, let's say, a team of, a sub-team of, six, well, or you got four rooms. Let's say out of 36 people, you have a cleaning team. The removal team, the extract team, get rid of all this stuff left behind. Let's say you had 12 people out of the 36. That's what they do. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you break up. Because after they do that, then you have another team that will come in, let's say, another 12. Matter of fact, 12 goes into 36 how many times?
Three.
So you have teams of 12. Yeah, I'm thinking out loud right now. All right. 12 goes into 36 three times. So you've got, you know what, hold it. Let's say you got four teams of nine, four rooms. So you got a team you got one team, like you say, the first team goes in and they clear out everything they need to do. I mean, clear out everything they need to do, all right? While they're doing that, you've got your other teams prepping for what they have to do when it's their turn to come up at bat. So you got, let's go back with 12. You use 12 people. 12 people, they clear out the house within 30 minutes. All right. Then the next team of 12, they come in and do what they need to do as far as sweeping, mopping, and all that type of thing. They got their thing to do. Meanwhile, you know, you still got your other teams that are doing what they need to do. Then let's say you got a prep team. Okay, the third team that comes in after it's, you know, swept and mopped and smelling better and at least looking better because you've done some type of hygiene clinic in there. Then they come in and they prep the floors if they need to be prepped. They prep the walls and ceilings if they need to be prepped. They do what they needed to do. I mean, then the next team that comes in after that, so, and let's say they're able to, the time limit is they have anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour to do what they need to do. Within 4 hours, depending on what needs to be done, you got a dramatic transformation within 3 to 4 hours already. So I'm glad you brought that out. Nine pickup trucks with minimum four people per truck. Because we already know one person, one or two people couldn't have pulled this off in that amount of time. So now, what I'm thinking right now, Robin, is what people need to do dealing with their widget. Is sit down with pen and paper and write down what steps are going to be involved and then the time frame that you want to have everything accomplished to make that particular widget. In our case, we're dealing with small, tiny houses. That's why we use a four-bedroom house. And this guy's house probably wasn't a tiny house. Was probably probably at least 1,000 square feet foot home in a regular neighborhood, so it was not a tiny house. And it didn't been probably involve 1,000 parts, you know, like a car would. So, yeah, the first thing is whatever your widget is, sit down with pen and paper and think it out on paper first. You know, what kind of materials, what kind of supplies, what you have, don't have, what you can substitute or innovate, and then what can you do to collapse the time where instead of taking 12 hours to do something, like one of the audios that I play quite often on here is Solar Cabin, where Lamar Alexander, he built a tiny house himself, by himself. It took him about 14 days to build it himself. The cost to build it out of his pocket was $2,000 for the cabin, and he paid $3,000 for the solar solar electric system in there. So a total of $5,000. Now, the solar system, that's one thing. He bought that in the kit. Let's concentrate on the cabin. He spent 2 weeks building it by himself at a cost of $2,000 was for the materials. Okay. So let's say you're not going to escape that cost of $2,000. However, let's go with back to our 36 friends. Okay. So instead of, we already know that with one person, and let's say he spent about 6 hours a day by himself building that cabin over 2 weeks. So if you had 36 friends help you, instead of going 2 weeks to build something, I'd say that can probably be built in 4 hours or less. But the first step, once again, is to sit down with pen and paper and write it out. Now, what's the first step? What's the second step? And if you got 36 people, you don't want 36 people just standing around, okay, while this team is, you know, doing the foundation or whatever, building the deck or whatever, or if you're baking cupcakes, and you got access to four ovens, commercial ovens, who's doing what? And while they're doing
you can stagger the people or stagger the tasks as well. So
right.
that they're not all or schedule them so that everyone is not all standing on top of each other, if you will. You know
exactly.
what I mean? And so, you know, part of the crew, you know, it may not take all of them, all 36 to clear the house. So
you're probably not
going to
need all 36 at
people.
One time doing one task. You're right.
Right. So you have those the clearer show up first, and then you start staggering in the other people to do the task as the rooms are cleared, if you will. Now they can go in and start painting and doing the flooring over here, you know, and then there's also stuff outside that people
right.
can be working on too while the house is being cleared.
The
outside's going to need painting too in the yard.
Right, true. Now, I think another thing that we need to add in there, out of the 36 people, your workers are going to need to be hydrated. They're going to need to take breaks, and they need to be fed. So, what would be? And you don't want them running away. I mean, running to McDonald's, and I mean, you want to keep your costs as low as possible.
So
what would be some inexpensive meals that? Because you can have
seven,
four people that all they do is they prepare refreshments.
7-Eleven, watch this. Watch this. 7-Eleven has an app called 7Now, and it's cheaper than using DoorDash and Uber Eats. And you can order a large pizza with chicken wings for ten bucks, or you can order a large pizza for $5 and have it delivered for under $2. Yes.
Mm.
So you get four pizzas, that's $20. You feed the people. There you go. Get a couple of liters of pop. And
right.
another thing too is the same way that you have the people, your friends come in and help, have them bring a potluck too.
You know
well.
What? That's an excellent idea. You know what? That's excellent. That's better than the 7-Eleven app. And you know what? Later on today, I'm gonna add that after
somebody
my phone.
Can bring a loaf of bread. Somebody can
right.
bring
people
some
can do a potluck. They can
napkins.
Bring, right.
You know,
have a potluck and man, if you got 15 people just bringing stuff, you're good. Out of the 36
yeah.
people, that's
yeah.
an excellent idea.
And nobody has to go broke. You know.
No.
Trying to feed everybody, yep.
Right. Or somebody can make, in addition to what you're saying also, if you got a sterno set up, let's say you don't have any electricity on there, you can set up you can bring a camping set up with a sterno thing or whatever, and somebody can make a big pot of either soup, chili, or spaghetti.
Yeah.
Three inexpensive meals, and then throw some bread in with that, like you said, bring in some bread or whatever, you're good to go. Everybody can be filled.
Or I see them do this. They go get some tortillas, and they ground up some ground beef and put some potatoes in there and cheese, you know, or whatever. And roll up some little tortillas with the burritos like that. There you go. That's real cheap, too. Real inexpensive.
Okay. You know what, Robin? Here's what we're going to do. People, we're going to listen to Solar Cabin because we want to take some notes with that. When we open back up the mic, Robin, what I want you to do is we're going to go with some recipes. Things that people can, you know, meals. We're going to do meal planning because in order to entice our friends to come out and help us, food is a great magnet. So,
well, that's what Jesus did. He fed the people before he started trying to save them.
You know what? The miracle. I call it the prosperity miracle. The miracle that is repeated in all four Gospels is the feeding of the 5,000. So when we, at the Solar Cabin, like I said, we're going to take some notes with that. I want you guys to listen to, because Solar Cabin is what we'll actually be doing, people. So me and Robin, we're thinking out loud. If you guys have any thoughts on it, 619-768-2945. But when you open back up the mic at the Solar Cabin, we're going to be doing meal planning because in order to get our 36 friends out, okay, we've gone from 9 to 36. We're going to be telling them, you know, all you need to do is bring yourself. We're going to feed you. So we'll have refreshments and nourishment the whole 10 hours that we're going to be out there building stuff. So we'll be back right after this.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land. Okay, this is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater. And those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for, and I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside, with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills. And then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children, because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat, takes a lot less money to cool, it's a lot easier to clean, it's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
Okay, we're doing stuff. I'm multitasking here today, people. All right, today what I did though, before we go back to Robin, I updated the. So we're going to make this a series because we're going to take these podcasts and apply them to stuff that we're doing offline, which you'll get the visual of it as well. In real time. We retitled the podcast today that we're on right now, Model T Assembly Meets 36 Friends. And today, the meat, the steak that we're getting ready to give you right now is when I open back up the mic with Robin, we'll be talking about meals. Once again, we're thinking on paper before we get out and actually start building stuff with our widget. Is going to be tiny solar homes. That's our widget, okay? Heavily based on the audio that you just heard with Lamar Alexander. He built the solar cabin by himself in 2 weeks. We want to use the Henry Ford Model T assembly line system to collapse that time down to a day. And at least, and I'm talking about probably an 8-hour day for starters. Eventually, we want to get it down to what can we do to build the house in 1 hour. I'm just putting it out there like that right now. So the first thing we're going to do for today, for the remainder of the day, is we're going to be talking about meals because meals are going to be our magnet to get the people out here so they can use that, so we can use that social capital. Where we don't have to get a 30-year mortgage or no type of mortgage. We don't have to go to a bank or nothing like that. We're building with social capital, but we got to feed the people, okay? We got to keep them hydrated, okay? So when I open back up the mic with Robin, we're going to talk about inexpensive meals where people can come back for seconds or thirds or maybe in some cases fourth. They're going to have a full belly. They won't get the itis now. We don't want to overfeed them where they're going to go to sleep, but they're going to be well fed, and we're going to do it for an inexpensive price. So we'll be back in 2 minutes.
How'd it go?
We got one out of two of them motherfuckers, you know.
You mean you motherfuckers come strolling in here all walking tall and shit?
You'll be out, man. I'm saying, man, we was blazing on them dudes, man. You know what I'm saying? Just got in the heat, man. We was blazing, though. It was late.
All right. Relax, man. I already heard. Go sit down. I'm not tweaking behind none of this. That's one less motherfucker that's breathing than was yesterday. You know what I'm saying? So we all good. But I'm surprised at you, though, man. Shit didn't get by you back when.
Well, my man's fault, man. I unloaded on the younger too soon, man. Gave him enough room to buck and run, man. I fucked that shit up myself, you know.
Hold on. It's on me. I had that kid in my sights.
close enough to take off his Kango and half his dome with it. Couldn't squeeze the trigger. Couldn't do it, man.
Why not?
Wasn't in me, I guess. You know, whatever it is in you that lets you flow like you flow and do that thing, it ain't in me no more.
All right. So you done soldiering, but you ain't done. Could use you for what you got in your head. We're going to put you on a corner. You could be inside.
Oh, man. I ain't making myself clear. The game ain't in me no more. None of it.
But you ain't done shit else. You know what I'm saying? So what you gonna do?
I don't know. But it can't be this.
All right, then. We straight.
Man in his time, you know?
Yeah. He a man today. He a man.
All right, that was from The Wire. Cuddy gets out of the game. Cuddy eventually goes into, he becomes a landscaper working for somebody else. Learns to speak a little Spanish because he's working with Latinos. And then he opens up his own gym. So in any event, that was his widget was opening up a gym. All right, let's go back to, all right, today I retitled the podcast today.
All right.
Model T Assembly meets 36 friends. Okay, and today we're going to take a look at, in order to do what we need to do within, you know what, I'm going to base it on the audio I played, they did what they needed to do within 12, let's see, within 12 hours. So, you know what, that's what we're going to do. Our goal is to essentially build a tiny solar cabin within a 12-hour period of time. Now, we're thinking on paper today, so one of the things, this is in no order of importance or whatever, or step one. However, the first step that we're going to take today is meals, because you're going to have to hydrate and feed these people, and we got to do it on a budget. Okay, so Robin, I like the first one of the ideas that you talked about is announce to people it's going to be potluck, and you got 36 people that are bringing stuff. You need to know what they're bringing, so you don't want to have 36 people there, and 36 people bought a bag of Lay's potato chips. That's not
right.
Going to go over too big. So anyway,
right.
Rob, so what would you, your suggestions on how to organize a potluck?
The same way, with a list and a sign-up sheet. You get
Got
your
it.
People to sign up to volunteer to come out and help, and on that same list, you have items that they can choose that they're going to bring. So they register, they volunteer, put their name, and then they also put down an item that they're going to bring and scratch it off the list of selections. And boom, move on down.
All right, that
down.
Makes sense.
That makes sense.
That way you got it in writing that, okay, if – you know, you don't want to have an overabundance of any one thing pop up, like potato chips or Doritos, or you don't want 36 people to bring in a bucket of fried chicken. But you can, and particularly people, now, if stay in your lane, like my lane is not organizing a potluck, okay? However, Robin, what you just put out there makes sense. And you know what? Out of the 36 people, you might have two people. That's what they do. Okay? They're the ones that are going to, you know, put together what you just stated, Robin, the sign-in sheet and, you know, the list. And those two people will coordinate, out of the 36, those two people organize the potluck. You organize the potluck. Now, that's one strategy, and it's a brilliant strategy. Now, next, you also mentioned, I want you to bring it up again, give us the 7-Eleven app thing. How does that work?
Oh, yeah. So 7-Eleven has an app called 7Now, and you can order almost anything that 7-Eleven sells, right? And it has a cheaper delivery than Uber and DoorDash. And they have, like, you can go and order a large pizza, and they have all the same types of pizzas that the meat lovers, cheese, Hawaiian, Canadian bacon, right? $5 for a large pizza. And then if you throw in some chicken wings, it's $10. All right? So you get and it's good pizza too. So that's a way you could get it there, get hot food delivered to you like that too.
All right, I'm on my tablet and yeah, you're right. 7-Eleven now delivers.
Yep.
So excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent app to have on your phone.
Yep.
Or whatever device
so
that you use.
Water and watch this. People watch this. They don't even have to bring anything. They can order it from 7Now.
Got
it. Instead of having to bring them and just have everything delivered there. Everybody just shows up and do what they do, and then Uber in and Uber out, if you will.
Right. Okay, well, I just looked that up on my tablet, so that's another thing that, like I say, out of your team of 36, you can probably have two people, I would say, you know what, probably no more than four max on the food, you know, the food committee, whatever you call it. But you know, all right, that's definitely something you need to put in your arsenal. All right, next food idea would be inexpensive meals to prepare. Now let me start off with this: spaghetti and meat sauce is typically an inexpensive meal to prepare. Chili with some bread, you know, bread rolls, that's typically inexpensive to prepare. And
a nice hearty soup is
inexpensive.
A nice hearty soup, and I've got a really good one. You take tortillas, right? And then you get chili with no beans, and you put a layer of that on the tortilla and some cheese and roll it up.
Oh, and roll it up to be
boom,
a burrito?
There you go.
Yeah. You know
yes.
what?
You can get about 10 to 12 of those out of a can, out of one can. And you want beanless chili because you get more. If they put beans in there, you get less, if you will. So
all right. Well, okay. That makes sense.
Tortillas
are inexpensive, and tortillas are filling too. They're filling as well.
Burritos.
Yeah, you can make your own burritos. Yeah.
You can. You can wrap those things up, and even if you did burritos and potatoes and cheese.
Right.
Tortillas
now, what about,
and potatoes and cheese.
We got to keep hydrated. So, what do you suggest? We have water there for sure. You gotta have your water there.
Yeah, a big old thing of water, green tea is always really healthy. It has the nutrients, it has the protein, it has everything, energy, all that. All right,
so you got your water there, you got your green tea. Somebody can be in charge of making the green tea.
Mm-hmm.
So you make sure you have plenty of that on
hand. And just bring a couple of big old jugs of those, two of them. You know, and that
right.
should be enough to feed, to drink everybody for the whole night. Water and some sort of other beverage. I really wouldn't worry about supply and pops and other types of drinks like that because it's not like a party or a social.
No,
real.
And then a lot of those real sugary drinks,
right.
you know, can bring it. You know, really, not only they're not so healthy, but they can, in my opinion,
well,
they can
you'll
zap
have people crashing on you.
Right.
You'll have people crashing on you. Their energy will fizzle out, and that sugar is toxic. Sugar is
right.
a toxin.
Right, I agree.
So
I agree. Now, how many people out of
we
the
can
30,
have a whole
60 think should be on that, on the, let's call it the food team?
They can do it with 2 to 4. Easy.
Yeah, four. We have 4 people. So you got people that they can plan it, you know, which, because you don't need all these strategies in one setting.
They,
I mean,
no,
in other
you
words, if you're going
to
do the potluck thing,
planet.
That strategy is good for the whole day.
Yep.
You know, if you're going to do the
yep.
chili thing, that the chili strategy is good for the whole 10-12 hours. You know, if you're going to do the
yep.
soup thing, that'll be good for the whole 10-12 hours. And the 7-Eleven thing is, you know,
yep.
it's, you know, it. And you know what, the pizza idea is good too, because basically you can get pieces on, you know, you get, like, for 36 people, if you get 10-12 pizzas in there, you're good to go.
Yeah. And at $5 a pop, you can afford to.
Right. Right. Cause I went to an event up in Vermont.
People
in
can
the first
pay.
Night.
I got 5 on it. Where else can you go and get put 5 on it and come out with a pizza? Nowhere.
Right. Yeah. So okay. They all be. I can't think. Oh, now within that four. Okay, you got your planning and all that. Now, out of that 4 people. Does that include the cleanup crew as well? How are you going to handle that?
The cleanup crew as well.
Okay. And
yeah.
basically, their jobs could be made light if, okay, you got the trash receptacles where, okay, after you eat or drink, you know, anything that needs to be recycled can be put in one container. To be recycled, you know, plastic bottles and or glass, whatever that is. And then tell people, you know, everybody eating, okay, it's you're not at home. This ain't maid service. Okay, put your trash or whatever in the correct receptacles. That way, all the 4-person team, all they need to do is lift up the trash, you know, the bags and tie them up and dispose of them properly. Four people I think is enough.
Yeah.
To be on that particular team.
Because you just need someone to organize it, and then you need someone to just kind of monitor and periodically during the day, hey, y'all, remember the trash is over there.
Mm-hmm.
Please put your trash, blah, blah, blah. You know, we're
and
packing
then have
it in,
two
we're
of
packing
people.
It out.
Two of those people, like, just make sure people, where they can have a water station, okay? So if you got a bottle
yep.
of water or whatever, let's call it a hydration station. So they just make sure one person can actually do that out of the 4. You make sure that Everybody, you know, if they need hydration or water or whatever you got, you have it there. Now, one thing I'm going to suggest is no alcohol.
Zero alcohol, zero drugs.
Zero alcohol. Yeah, zero
it's
alcohol,
not a party.
Zero drugs. Okay. Because if you bring the alcohol in there and they have access to it early, then you might not get no work done.
And you also need to have everyone sign a release form that I'm volunteering of my own free will and volition, and I'm taking full responsibility for any accidents that may happen, blah, 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 and I will not hold them liable to blah, blah. Does that make sense? You need to have
that
a
disclaimer.
That
makes
sense,
and also that
means
you need to have that with the with the food that's served, with the potluck and all that. All that.
Yep. You might.
You know, if you get food poisoning or whatever,
yourself,
but you know it.
You yeah. Listen, you might want to have a cover yourself and have a food handler's card.
That makes
as
sense.
As well, get. Okay.
And you know what? It might be
smart also
to have. If you've got within your 36 people. If you've got somebody who's, it could be a registered nurse or a paramedic. You
right.
know, somebody
right.
that definitely knows CPR.
Yeah.
Just if somebody gets, and I'm going to tell you this, this really happened to me. I went to an event in another state. About four or five years ago. And I got sick. And it could have been food poisoning or something. But I had signed a release, and I got to the point where what really helped me out was one of the people, one of the organizers, one of their friends, because I was on 10 acres of land out in the middle of nowhere, they had a friend who was a nurse. They lived like on the next lot of 10 acres or whatever. And the nurse basically told me, you know what, I was dehydrated. And essentially, and I sort of sensed that, and I drank a lot. She said, keep on doing what you're doing. And then her husband, because I was in the cabin, and I stayed in this place the year before with no problems. You know, I went, he took me to a place, I checked into a nice, comfortable cabin. It wasn't a resort, but it was on the grid. And I holed up in that cabin overnight, got rehydrated overnight, took a nice shower. Got my strength back overnight and called him early that morning and said, man, I'm ready to come back out and build houses. So I'm saying that all day to say I'm agreeing with everything you're saying, but if you can, have somebody who's a registered nurse and or a paramedic, definitely somebody that knows CPR. I didn't need CPR or nothing like that. But have some type of medical professional there. More than likely, you're not going to need them, but it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
Indeed, indeed. And you also want to check locally to see if any permits are required. Sometimes
correct.
You have to have a permit to build. Our rehab.
Well, that's true.
Okay?
Right. Yeah, that's true.
And sometimes even to gather or to have a work party, you might have to check if that location belongs in a housing authority or housing, you know, like condos.
Yeah, homeowners association, something like that.
The homeowners association. Yes,
right.
You want to investigate and all the clerk's office, all of that, so that you because people, a lot of times, even when you're making progression and making an improvement, there might be some old-timers or long-timers in the neighborhood, and they're just sitting in resentment because they've experienced
the degradation.
You know what
I call that? The glass cabinets. Right.
Right.
Many neighborhoods have a glass cabinet.
And report you and
right.
make a problem and watch and stuff like that, and it's really sad that we have to deal with that. So you just want to be wise and make sure that the ground that you're walking on is solid underneath you. The best way.
You're absolutely right. On that TV show Bewitched, there was a nosy next door neighbor that went by the name of Gladys Kravitz. And there's a Gladys Kravitz. She might not exist in every neighborhood, but she's in a whole bunch of neighborhoods. And it's just like you said, it could be somebody that typically Gladys Kravitz doesn't have many friends or any friends at all. So when they see people getting together, nosy
especially
is one thing,
Mexican,
but, getting mad.
Oh, my God.
Calling the authorities
on
you.
They've got guns. I mean, you'll
right.
have SWAT called on you, code enforcement, okay?
Right.
And anybody else that they can rain down on you that they could think of. And you better hope that they're not rolling with no homies or anything like that.
Well, what you're saying is you're right. You need to check on, do you need a permit? Find all that information out. This is all part of the planning stage because, like I say, you got 12 hours, so you don't want to have work start. And then somebody comes along because of Gladys Kravitz called somebody on you. And then you should have got a simple permit if you needed one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to stop work.
Yep. And then banking, all this is banking on social capital, which
right.
the owner of that property would probably have already made sure all that is good as well. We're just giving out all the good information.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah,
right.
yeah. So, one thing, too, as far as conveying, I would make that because the people, just like currency, the people are the currency, not money.
Right.
And the people are the conveyors. Okay, and then I would convey that into an LLC and make my family a conveyor belt, if you will, and
right.
make it an LLC. Yep. So now...
Okay, and that's a whole other dimension of it.
Now you're expanding on that, and you're making that Model T... thing, you're making it 360 because you're bringing it back home and turning it into a legacy. You want to create or build. That's the best way, that's the most surest way to own something, is to create it or build it. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, speaking of which, let's go to the phone lines real quick before we're out of time. 314, your mic is
open. Put it into business.
Oh, I would just listen, Ellie.
I saw your light on,
food?
So. Huh?
When you going to start serving food?
Well, we got to go to the food committee on that one.
Hello, Robin.
We're just brainstorming and thinking out loud on that.
We can start right now. Text me your address. I have food there to you in 20 minutes or less.
I'm thinking about taking me an Amtrak. Travel, but
really?
Damn.
Where?
Yeah, it wherever it's going. I'm just going to get on. Sit down.
Amtrak goes
I
a lot of places.
I hear they have some new trains coming back to the United States. That's what I hear, some new luxury trains.
Yeah. But that would be good.
Mm-hmm. Well, Amtrak is comfortable.
Yeah. When you start your project, let us know. We'll look for you on the news or something. This is America.
Yeah, well, we'll plan. We might cover that. What's today? Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what we're gonna do is take at least 30 minutes, because what I'll probably cover tomorrow. I've been wanting to cover this since last week. What's going on in Chicago?
What's the cover up there? You got Negroes up there killing each other.
Well, that's one of the things I want to talk about.
You know, I shouldn't say that because it's not the case, because you got some people ain't doing nothing and some fool come up there and kill them.
Well, you got, before the latest incident where they arrested two brothers, you had you had people pointing a finger at the judges for letting people out early on bond. Bonded them, allowing them to get bond. Then you had people pointing the finger, and people pointing the finger at the mayor pointing the finger at the chief of police. Then you had a little infant girl that she got shot in the head. I think she's still living. Then the officer, 29-year-old officer French, policewoman, she got shot and killed, and her partner is. They say he's fighting on for his life. So, I'll probably cover that tomorrow. I wanted to cover that started last week, but that's it. Well, let me. So we'll pop this in for at least 30 minutes a day, with the current stuff. But Chicago. You know what? If I didn't, I would almost be afraid to go to Chicago with all the stuff that you hear in the news about Chicago.
I wouldn't go up there.
I
would let my kids go up there. Okay,
you went through Chicago twice last year, didn't you? When you took that nationwide train trip.
When the train drove through Chicago, Robin was on the floor.
Well, okay. Now, any event, all right. Thank you for calling in. And her call drops. So before Blog Talk drops, is all I'm going for today.